Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a pack of monkeys in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Long Box Guys. My name is Tom Strange, and with me as always are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Mikey, how are you, and what are you drinking?
I am doing excellent tonight, and I am drinking, that's a good question, it's a Recorder League Passion Fruit Hard Cider from Germany.
Is it good?
It is. It's very tasty. My wife even had some, and she was like, ooh, this is good, which means I'm getting lucky if we can get out of here in the next 20 minutes. Otherwise, she's going to be asleep.
All right. And we all know how bad your wife's taste is. Ba-boom!
That's accurate.
Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing pretty good, and I've got a glass of Super Sap from Treehouse that has twice as much alcohol and twice as many pine trees as your normal IPA.
See, I want half as many pine trees. I'll take more alcohol.
Well, that's the price you pay.
So 4/8 more alcohol?
Yeah, about that.
About that. Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, and I'm drinking some Chivas Regal tonight.
Because you're an elderly man sitting in an old folks' home.
Because I grabbed the wrong bottle. I thought I was grabbing Dalwhinnie.
Well, speaking of old men and the bottle, we're going to be talking about pirates mostly tonight. Because we're going to be talking about a lot of the foes and friends of Aquaman. What? Pirates love bottles. They put ships in them. And they drink from them. It's two things pirates do with bottles. I can name a third thing, but you guys always tell me I work too blue. I was going over a list today of Aquaman's friends and foes, and I was taken aback by how long the captain part of that was. a lot of captains.
Yar. There's maybe a lot of captains in Aquaman's story past.
Odd captains. A couple of admirals, but a lot of weird captains, too. So we're going to go over mostly the Aquaman universe, their friends and foes, and interstitial people that make the universe so much fun. Does anyone have someone so cool they have to start with them?
No.
I don't know. I've got a lot of cool ones, but I don't know what's so cool.
We're going to start with who?
I think we should probably start with Porm.
You want to start with Porm?
Probably should, just in case, you know, you start looking at Porm.
Oh, I looked it up on Pornhub. just a lot of dolphins bumping into each other. Tommy, you want to tell us about Porm?
Porm is queen of the dolphins. She taught Aquaman how to swim in some of the continuities. She raised Aquaman. One of Aquaman's friends always there to simplify things for Aquaman when he tries to overcomplicate them. Just one of his dolphin friends.
And what Batman is not a fan of Porm.
Of course not.
Of course not. Why would he be? I think one of the fun things about Porm is the different continuities Porm does take on a few different things. Like you said, in one continuity, raised Aquaman. In one continuity, I believe she also raised Garth, who was feral, or at least helped Garth when Garth was feral. Does anyone want to do Garth?
Sure. You're talking about Garth, a.k.a. Aqualad, a.k.a. Tempest. He was first created in February of 1960, appearing in Adventure Comics number 269 by Robert Bernstein and Ramona Fredon. And as Tempest, he was so named by Phil Jimenez. So Aquaman, like all Silver Age superheroes, needed a sidekick. They gifted him with Aqualad, a.k.a. Garth. And Garth had several different origins. But what you need to know is he's an Atlantean, and he has talent with magic. And he has been, through all the iterations, except for the Golden Age, he has been Aquaman's sidekick and loyal confidant. In the New 52, he is actually an ambassador for Atlantis and a member of the Titans. He's one of the original members of the Teen Titans, too. So he's actually one of the more important supporting characters of Aquaman, who is separate from Aquaman, too. And probably the majority of stories aren't about him with Aquaman.
All right. Good. I knew that I could just toss Garth to you and you would just go straight with it.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. And I just want to say that we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Aquaman's number one nemesis. He had the biggest thorn in his side, the biggest threat, not only to Aquaman, but to all aquatic life. And that would be the Fisherman.
Drink.
Yes, Fisherman. Fisherman's real identity, unknown. The original Fisherman was a single-use thief used in the Dr. Midnight strip. He was brought aboard to just be stealing stuff. In many different iterations, Fisherman has been a thorn or a hook, in the side of Aquaman and various Aqua characters.
I see.
Which is Aqua. Yeah, you saw what I did there?
Yeah.
Now, there is one form of Fisherman which is actually a little bit terrifying, and that's his Xeno form. In Aquaman's Sword of Atlantis, 48 through 49, Kurt Busiek rediscovers Fisherman and has the helmet to not be a helmet, but it's like a Lovecraftian attachment to his face that controls the Fisherman telepathically, and the Fisherman is actually any undead Fisherman corpse that he finds and attaches himself to, which is why there's been so many different Fishermen in the past. So the Fisherman is actually this weird, crazy Lovecraftian monster who just happens to like fishing accoutrement to perform crimes.
That sounds awesome. I didn't know that. I now have to find some of those issues.
Go ahead and Google Aquaman Fisherman and see what this character looks like, because it looks ridiculous. It's like the Gordon Fisherman if he had some sort of squid head, and that was like supposed to be his mask. He was one of the first supervillains in an Aquaman comic that I bought, and so I was like, the Fisherman's got to be one of the greatest threats of all time, and he's pretty much a joke until the reimagining by Kurt Busiek, when he becomes so terrifying. And I give kudos to rescuing this Golden Age character who is pretty lame to make him horrific.
Pretty much one of the scariest things ever in a comic book.
Yeah.
Because any one of us could be the next Fisherman. All we have to do is die while we're angling near Aquaman, beating the shit out of the other fisherman. Could happen to any of us.
Could happen to anyone.
Could happen to anyone.
To the best of us.
Josh, what do you got next?
I have to go back into the well of Young Justice and go for the Aqualad known as Calderon.
Yeah, I know.
Happily. He is a another young Atlantean who leaves the School of Magic in Atlantis to join Young Justice on land. He has the ability to manipulate water density and shape, whatever that's called, water manipulation. What would we call that? What are we calling that power?
Aquakinesis?
Hydrokinesis? I'll go with hydrokinesis. You got it half right. Half credit for LT.
I think that's actually just called ice sculpture.
Okay, let's go with ice sculpturing. The other thing he can do, for some reason, and I was like, I wonder how they rationalize the electric part of his superpowers, because he does use electricity through his water a lot. And this is the worst explanation I have seen on Wikipedia, and I'm gonna read this to you.
Let me guess. Is he part eel?
you cut me off before I got there.
God damn it, I'm sorry.
Damn you and your
you know what? I'll edit that shit out. Go ahead and say, let me read Wikipedia.
Of course it has to be an eel. What else is going to be electric in the water?
That's fine. No, leave it in.
He's part cable?
Yeah, so in addition, he is able to discharge powerful bolts of electricity from his fingertips in a manner similar to that of an electric eel. Okay, first of all, electric eels don't shoot lightning bolts, nor do they have fingertips. I don't even understand where this sentence came from, and I reject it in its entirety.
That's actually based on Eel Man.
I was like, who wrote that? That guy was flat out wrong. But I do like the character, and he has made the transition into the comic books.
Yes, he's in the current Teen Titans.
Yeah. He's a great character. I like him a lot. He's the leader of Young Justice, and I cannot wait for season 3, which is coming very soon.
In the comics, he is the son of one of Aquaman's greatest foes. In fact, probably Aquaman's greatest foe. But I'll let Tom talk about him.
Yeah.
You can talk about him if you like.
Nope. I don't want to talk about him.
Then I'll talk about him because I do find this character fascinating. I never liked Black Mantis all that much. And that's, of course, who we're talking about. Black Mantis being one of the big, big characters in the Aquaman universe. Now, Black Manta, I should say. One of the things I like about Black Manta and some of the reimagining is that Black Manta is actually autistic. And the reason he loves the deep sea and the depth and the pressure is because it keeps him calm. It keeps his autism at bay. The deep, deep silence, the deep, deep dark. And he wants it all for himself.
Hydro hugs.
Yes, hydro hugs. Perfect, Josh. That's exactly what it feels like under there. He's finally calm. He's finally at peace until some idiot Atlantean comes over and disturbs him. So everything in the ocean must die except for him so he can have some peace and some quiet. Also, he's one of the first African-American supervillains. And there was a big storyline for quite a while where his idea of why he was a supervillain was to conquer the ocean to give Africans and African-Americans a place to live because he thought that the whites had conquered the land, they'll conquer the sea. It turned out that that was really just a way of explaining to followers to get them to follow. His end game goal was just to be last man standing and, you know, destroy most life on the planet so he could have that peace and quiet that he always wanted at the ocean's depths. So Black Mantis is going to be in the movie. I can't wait to see how that's portrayed. Anyone have anything to add to Black Manta?
He killed Aquaman's son in one of the greatest storylines. If you want to hear more about that, listen to last week's podcast where we talked in depth about that. And I've already seen the Aquaman movie, so he's cool.
Is it good, Mike? It's good, right? Just say it's good.
It's good. It's not – this is spoiler-free. If I was a little kid, Aquaman would now be my favorite superhero after watching that movie.
Excellent. That's what I want to hear.
The movie was made for a younger audience, but it's full of action and adventure.
I'm telling you, if I was a young kid, the first time I saw Black Panther, I would have been all in. That was an awesome movie if you were a little kid too.
And this movie is like the DC's version of Black Panther.
Awesome. I like hearing that.
And also in one of the continuities of Black Manta, one of the reasons why he hates Aquaman so much is that Aquaman killed his father. And that's one of the continuity lines.
Yeah, that's from the New 52 series by Jeff Johns. Go ahead and listen to last week's podcast where we talked about that.
Yeah. Yes. You know, listen to last week's podcast where we make fun of Black Manta's helmet till the cows come home.
I'm just kidding. We should do that now, though. I think everyone should just stop this podcast right here. Just go listen to last
week. Just go listen to last week's podcast.
Yeah.
And then come back. Head and shoulders above this one.
And listen to this week's podcast.
But this week's podcast is going to have something that last week's podcast didn't have. And you know what that is, guys? It's going to have Quisp. Who knows
drink.
About...
You son of a bitch.
Really?
Would you
Quisp?
Stop picking my guys?
Quisp? You were going to pick Quisp?
Yes, I was going to pick Quisp. Of course I was going to pick Quisp.
Yeah.
An interdimensional imp that torments, much like Mr. Mixel-Pidelic used to do for Superman, Quisp would do for Aquaman. Except for the most part, Quisp was a good guy. It was Corp who was the bad guy of the fifth dimensional creatures or eighth dimensional creatures that would bother Aquaman and Aqualad.
It was it was during the Silver Age, but then things took a horrible turn for Quisp.
Seeing a darker, more brooding Aquaman, he decided to become a darker, more brooding Quip. How'd that work out for him, Mike?
Oh, it did not work out well, because he almost destroyed the planet, and as a punishment, the other imps from the fifth dimension imprisoned him, basically driving him mad. Even after he had cured himself from being the evil Quisp, he was still locked away.
Yeah, he wasn't locked away for that long. It was only 18 infinities.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, 18 infinities in the maze of ultimate horror or something. And I mean, I can do 3 infinities standing on my head, and I'm not even a super powerful genie. So
He escaped kind of because he was captured by an evil villain named Saradin, an evil magic user in the DC universe who bound him to himself. So he has some of the imp's powers. Yeah, Quisp has had a very, very hard knock life ever since Aquaman grew that beard.
It's a hard knock life for Quisp.
Yeah.
Well, see, I thought for a while he was Quip, and then I immediately related him to Quippers in D&D, but not so much, apparently.
Not so much.
Not so much.
It's kind of disappointing, actually.
Tell me who you got next over there, buddy.
I've got Merc, leader of the Drift. Atlantean Special Forces leader Merc.
You son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Wait, never got out of anybody.
Merc in the Rebirth, at first it seems like he is Aquaman's right-hand guy, somebody that Aquaman can always count on. But really, Merc is somebody that always does what he feels is right for Atlantis. He does not have any personal loyalty to any one person. He just has a loyalty to Atlantis. So he'll turn on you like a dime if he thinks it's not quite the right situation for Atlantis. Which seems kind of like not the best situation to have in a soldier who's special forces, because you think that, you know, you want somebody who's going to follow the command chain. But
and he does. Whoever the ruler of Atlantis is, he follows that command. He serves Atlantis. He does not serve the king.
So if he had to become a Praetorian guard, do you think he would, Mikey? To serve Atlantis?
Maybe.
Yeah. Just ask him.
For a friend?
For a friend.
Just asking.
This guy I know named Mad Dog had a question for me about forming a Praetorian Guard and if that was a bad thing. And I was like, well, I don't know if I want to follow a guy named Mad Dog into a Praetorian Guard situation, but still. Not that we're calling for insurrection.
So I'd like to go next before you guys steal my next guy.
Fine.
Go ahead, Mike.
I am going to go with Steven Shin. Thank you, LT. I appreciate
that. You're a liar.
Wait.
I knew it, you cocksucker. Do not get to call drinks.
Created by Jeff Johns and Ivan Reyes. First appearing in Aquaman number 2 in 2011. He is part of the New 52 continuity of Aquaman. He is a young marine biologist who believes that he has discovered evidence that there's an Atlantis. And eventually the existence of Aquaman proves him right. He is the foremost expert on all things Atlantis for surface dwellers. And he is so obsessed, you're never really sure if he's... whose side he's on. Aquaman doesn't trust him at all, and he blames Shin for the death of Aquaman. Blames Shin for the death of his father. He is a great character. He is also going to be in the movies, played by the guy from Fresh Off the Boat, Randall Parks. And he, so yeah, he doesn't have any superpowers or anything. He's just a marine biologist, and I like him.
That's okay. Yeah. You like who you like.
I like him. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Atlantis' answer to Chud. Not cannibalistic human underground dwellers, but the trench dwellers.
You fucking really asshole. Holy shit. I had 7 people on my list, and you guys have taken just about every one of them.
The Trench. Former Atlanteans, now an extinct race of vicious, cannibalistic, humanoid underground dwellers, basically.
Yeah.
They roam the sea bottom, eating people and stuff. They revealed to be the third kingdom of the seven seas. They are like, you know, army ants. They'll just devour everything in their path. They're like the White Walkers of the ocean floor, and they are cool. Mike, you gotta have something to add to that.
No, they're just freaking cool. They're awesome.
It was one undead of the, on the ocean floor. That's cool.
It was one of the greatest villain creations of the New 52 Aquaman, and they've had a lot of great villains, but this is one of the best. It's an entire kingdom in the Marianas Trench.
Now, I've been told that's not that deep. Is that true?
It's pretty deep.
What? It's deeper than the Mount Everest is if you turned it upside down and put it at the surface of the water. So Mount Everest is about 32,500 feet high over sea level, and the Marianas Trench is about 36,500 off the top of my head, I'm guessing.
So it's pretty deep.
Pretty deep.
Pretty deep.
Good.
Okay. About a mile higher than Mount Everest, yeah. Except
all right.
Down.
A mile deeper. I'm going to get Mike. You take the next one, too. Go ahead there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm going to grab another beer. So, Mike, go slow because I want to hear what you got.
All right, this is my last one because you fuckers have chosen all of my supporting characters. This guy is definitely not a supporting character. This is a badass villain, again, created for the New 52, and that is Deadwater. Deadwater is an alien entity that hails from a water dimension. And when it gets released into this dimension, the dark water, or excuse me, Deadwater, takes over people and infiltrates them and changes their personality into monsters, and it actually starts morphing them, and it's so hard to detect who has been affected with Deadwater, which is it makes Aquaman a horror, the comic book where this appears, a horror movie, because they're trapped in a station with the Deadwater and they don't know who's affected by the Deadwater. It could be anything. It's very John Carpenter like thing, kind of thing, vibe going on, except it's all about a water-based creature. It is, next to the Trench, the scariest part of any Aquaman comic I've ever read.
Even scarier than the fisherman when he's got the thing on his face?
It's scarier than that. And one of the reasons I love Deadwater is because the only person who, or the only thing that has been able to detect somebody infected with Deadwater is Aquaman's dog, Salty, a Labrador retriever, who's just like, don't like that person.
Wow, that is very John Carpenter-esque.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a very good storyline.
They stole that thing.
Oh, I see what you did there.
All right. Okay, easy, guys. Tell me what you got next.
I'm going to go with Erica, Arthur Curry's policewoman friend from Amnesty Bay. She is always there to watch his dog Salty for him, feed the dog. He's always there in Amnesty Bay, giving him the news, letting him know what's going on. She's a great little supporting character for him.
And I believe she dated him in high school, right?
It doesn't say it, but it kind of feels like that maybe she, you know, kind of never got over Arthur Curry.
She got the aqua harpoon.
Boom.
Boom.
Right in the lady parts.
She might have gotten some little swimmers, if you know what I mean.
Funniest thing you've ever said. Top one. Josh, what do you got next?
I have Aquaman's most dangerous foe. This is something that has been coming along since 1975.
Is it the desert?
No, it's climate change.
Climate change.
Ooh. So a 2.33 change in temperatures of the water of the Gulf of Mexico, basically triple the force of hurricanes as for every degree over 68 degrees of the water, it's able to pull more moisture in the air, increases wind speed, has this thing called OHC, what is that called? I never remember what OHC stands for. It is ocean heat content. And so while any storm is sitting over warm ocean waters, it increases moisture, increases wind speed, increases power, and then releases it as it hits land because the land temperatures are so much lower than the air and water temperatures. So I have to say climate change is Aquaman's biggest current foe. And for that, he might just have to pull a Namor and put all us start throwing down against us surface dwellers.
I, for one, welcome our Atlantean overlords.
You are going to love the villains in the Aquaman movie.
We got a little Wakanda Forever vibe going on that one.
Yeah, I couldn't decide if it was climate change or plastic bags and straws, but I went with climate change.
Have you seen the thing where the eels are going up seals' noses and accidentally killing them?
Yes.
Both the eel and the – that's the most horrible eel thing I've ever
– and the seal.
Eel and the seal die in this crazy eel up the nose thing. That's terrifying.
That sounds like a – I think that sounds like a modern love story gone wrong.
Yeah.
The eel and the seal.
The eel and the seal.
Yeah.
One of them is just a crazy, squishy, snake-like sea thing that just wants to eat everything in your nose.
That's like the Romeo and Juliet of our times, except, you know, seals and eels. Eels are gross.
Those are gross. They are the other.
They are the other. I used to freshwater fishing, and you catch an eel, you are so mad as soon as you pull that thing accidentally out of the water because then it just tangles up your entire fishing line.
Oh, yeah. It just goes and does that crazy figure eight thing.
It's the worst.
Oh, my God. We might be the fishermen. Josh, we might be the undead fishermen.
Oh, my God.
We're be next. I'm next.
We're next. We're stopping this hobby right now. Oh, God. Scared myself.
All right.
Does anyone have any last ones they want to jump in that we can make Mike angry about that he forgot?
We should probably mention Charybdis.
If you can't say it, don't mention it.
We should probably mention... Probably mentioned Charybdis.
Hey, Black Mantis.
Since he did cause, you know, Aquaman to lose his hand.
Are we using the term lose? It's not like he left it on a park bench.
Yeah. All right. He left it in a bunch of piranhas' bellies.
Yeah.
He didn't lose it. It was kind of stripped away from it.
Yeah, stripped away a little bit. And, of course, as revenge, Aquaman threw him in a river of piranhas, and he ended up becoming Piranha Man later.
Well, that's what happens.
Yeah. Which is a much better name.
Yeah, I mean,
much better name than Charybdis.
You throw a supervillain into a river of piranhas, he's coming out Piranha Man.
Like, yeah, you're asking for it.
You gotta see that coming as a superhero. Like, you can't.
God damn it!
There
I was fighting Pussy Willow Jones. Having the time of my life, just kicking his ass day after day. Then I throw him into a radioactive prawn, and I'm like, fuck.
You need to take that into account.
Yeah.
So we've talked about most of Aquaman's major villains. We left out two right off the top of my head that I can think of that are, three. Scavenger, who just collects artifacts from all over the place. He sometimes teams up with Aquaman, mainly out of self-preservation. There's also Ocean Master, who is Aquaman's half-brother or full brother, depending on what storyline you're reading. And King Shark.
Oh, yeah, King Shark, guy with a big shark face.
Yeah, he didn't start off with an Aquaman villain, but he has become a sometime ally, sometime villain of Aquaman also. Those are the
now big... He's a Flash villain, right, mostly, King Shark?
No, not really.
No?
No, mostly he's Aquaman now, but originally King Shark was a Superboy villain.
Wow.
Yeah, not even the Connor Kent Superboy. We're talking about the I'm replacing Superman because he got killed by Doomsday Superboy.
Oh, Leather Jacket Superboy?
Yeah.
The telekinetic kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I kind of liked him.
His story is varied from his origin. At some points, he's an Atlantean who's part of the underground, the bottom kingdom of Atlantis, where, because they have a caste system, the mutants and stuff are shunned to the very bottom part of Atlantis. Yeah. And in other storylines, he is the son of the shark god. So take your pick.
I'm going to go shark god. Yeah,
because you know the caste system seems like kind of douchey.
It is kind of douchey. In fact, that's one of the great things about the Aquaman run they've had since Rebirth is they've delved into the political system in a way that they've never done before and pointed out how shitty the caste system is.
That's good. We don't serve your kind here.
And
well, we do, but it's a calamari dish, and you won't like that.
Yeah, it's probably and not.
We serve your kind here, but it's on a plate.
And if you're wondering why we did not talk about Aquaman's greatest supporting character, Mira, is because she deserves her own podcast in over itself because she is awesome. So in the future, we will do a Mira podcast.
All right. So that's it on the supporting cast. Next week, we will have our big podcast about the Aquaman movie. Everyone, make sure you go see it. Mike already done his homework. Good on you, boy.
Oh, I'm going to see it again this week and too.
All right. Good on you, boy.
See that in the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah. I'm going to see that one. I saw Green Book, by the way. Green Book was excellent. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent. That's Josh's realm. Josh, you got a tangent for us?
The new Oculus, there's a Rift. There's a new one that's wireless. And it's really just a smartphone that's glued to your face. It's relatively inexpensive, but really it's just running apps. So I'm guessing it's an Android, but it's really kind of encouraging people just to sit on their ass and explore the universe through their face without moving. The one thing I really like about it is you can actually pay for NBA Live and sit virtually on the sidelines of any game, and you can have up to 10 of your friends with you, where if you look right or look left, you get to see everybody sitting on the sidelines. So this, I think, is like one of the first real steps into the sort of the Ready Player One-ish kind of experience where we get to start experiencing the world through something that's just sitting on our faces. What do we think about virtual reality, and what do we think the future is in the next maybe 5 to 10 years?
So, Josh,
one thing that I saw that I thought was really cool is you can make like a virtual playroom that we can all download, and we can all sit in it and watch a movie together and talk.
Yep.
God damn, I miss doing that with you guys. Everyone's scattered across the universe. To be not so scattered across the universe and be sitting on our asses on a giant virtual couch watching a movie with you guys while we make the same stupid jokes we've been making since we were freaking 14 really appeals to me.
And it's not expensive.
Yeah.
It's $150.
Do you think the next version will allow you to have a virtual riot at the basketball game?
I'm so glad we waited for that comment.
So I've already challenged you guys once before. Has anybody gone and watched the first episode of season 2 of The Guest Book on TBS?
No, because I had to start with season 1, and the first one was pretty fucking funny.
No, season 1 is great, don't get me wrong, but season 2, episode 1 of The Guest Book is all about a guy who goes to the beach but doesn't want to be with his wife because he's doing virtual reality. Hey, this is Mike in post-production, where I am saving you guys from a 5-minute rant about a TV show you probably have never watched. Back to the podcast. So what I'm trying to say is virtual reality is going to be used exclusively for porn.
All new technology is used for porn. The third thing Gutenberg printed was dirty limericks.
God damn, that dolphin gets around.
we all know that all technology meanders towards porn very, very quickly. I'm absolutely certain that the third fax ever sent was just a pair of tits.
Yeah. I mean, porn, yeah, porn built the internet. So you just got to wait for that until it gets into more other things. I mean, I was just really interested, honestly, in watching movies and sporting events with you guys.
Me too. Or imagine playing Dungeons and Dragons around the same table, kind of.
Yeah, that seems like a very easy app to make, right? So yeah. Let's do that.
Let's do that. Let's not – and, of course, I'll be running porn on the side. Like this eyes. Besides all you guys, we're having a great time.
Bye, D&D.
But boom. You know,
so I get it. One eye's going to be Dungeons and Dragons. The other one's going to be porn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's explicitly what he just
said.
And that's pretty much the half the story. Maybe 78% of the story.
Are you lagging?
Maybe.
By the way, as a big fan of edging, a lag would not bother me in the least. Edging, look it up.
I get it.
We understand it.
It's where you're on the cliff and the dolphin's right below you. I understand.
We get the reference, but I'm still going to glare at you for 28 seconds for mentioning it every other podcast.
Yeah. I love that 28 seconds, Josh.
Glaring.
Yeah, give me more.
I get the people listening can't see me glaring at home, but you can imagine my piercing gaze.
Imagine that piercing gaze.
Not a sultry piercing gaze.
If you'd like to see Josh's sultry piercing gaze, go ahead over to our website, thelongboxguys.com, where you can check out his profile pic. We should also recommend everybody go ahead and join our Patreon, patreon.com/thelongboxguys, where for a mere $1 a month, you get an extra podcast, the greatest of all time. Last week was Aquapets. This week, well, it was something stupid Tom chose, but hey, they're not all winners.
They can't always be the greatest.
They can't always be great.
It was the greatest of that category. We all agreed on that.
That's true.
Josh, you had a hard out at almost now, so I figured we'd let you go when we're going to do the front and the back of the long box. Josh, we will be at Pensacola, Florida very soon. Is that going to be your sector?
That will definitely be my sector. Do we know what day that is?
February 20th. I assume so.
Yeah, because we all made reservations and flights and hotels and stuff. So, of course, we know when that is. Don't be ridiculous.
Of course, guys. We do. Tommy, what do you have in the back of the long box for me, buddy?
In the back of the long box, I'm going to recommend Happy by Grant Morrison.
Ooh, such a good graphic novel.
Such a good graphic novel. And, of course, it was made into a sci-fi series, a Christmas comic book, if you will. And it's a great graphic novel about an ex-cop who is suddenly seeing an imaginary friend, but it's not his imaginary friend. And he has to follow the advice of the imaginary friend to save a little girl. And I would recommend reading the comic book before watching the television series. But even if you've watched the television series, read the graphic novel anyway, because it's great.
And it varies a little bit. That's actually what I was going to have in the front of the long box was the Happy TV show. It's now available on Netflix. It's about Nick Sachs, a corrupt, intoxicated former cop who's now an assassin. And about a little girl who has an imaginary friend named Happy, and she gets kidnapped. She's in danger, so he goes to Nick to rescue him. Nick is played by Stabler from SVU, Law & Order SVU. I don't know. Chris Maloney.
Christopher Maloney.
Yep. And Happy is being voiced by Patton Oswalt. And it is such a good flick. The bad guys in it are scary bad. They skewer reality television and children shows, for that matter. And they also have an imaginary character who spends about 5 or 10 minutes talking about the Omega Point. If you want to go back and listen to Josh explain that philosophical position, go listen to our Animal Man podcast. But as I was watching it, I'm like, holy moly, this guy's talking about a philosophy. And man, I'd follow this imaginary creature anywhere he'd want to go. He's just so convincing. I loved it. It's a great series. You should really check it out. If you like – now, don't let your kids watch it, by the way. This is not a kid-friendly.
It's not for children.
Even though it's about a happy imaginary unicorn, don't let your kids watch it. Unless you hate your kids and want them to have to go through therapy.
At one point, they're going to slice through Nick's penis in super razor-thin slices, like a big cut of salami. And Nick says, well, we're going to be here for an awful long time, are we, guys? That's the kind of humor you can expect from Happy. And I loved it. I had a great time.
Yeah.
So next week, we're going to be doing our spoiler-filled review of Aquaman the movie. So all of the Long Box Legion, your homework is to go out and check out the Aquaman movie this weekend. Or if you don't mind spoilers, wait till after you hear our reviews of it. But again, spoiler-free review. I thought it was a really good movie. It's probably, next to Wonder Woman, the best DC movie I've seen.
All right. Looking forward to seeing it. Can we do some plugs?
I think we should, especially Kirby Crackle, who every week provides us our geek rock music. You can check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And if you are a fan of podcasts, which we hope you are, you should check out our friends. We've got the Nola Nerd Couple, who are always fun. We've got the Who's Next Gaming guys. So you can go over to who's next gaming.com. They have several different podcasts. In fact, Seth from that podcast is going to be joining us next week for our Aquaman review. We also have Movies Made Me podcast, which we have stolen some of the format for our YouTube channel, The Long Box Guys, where we do Secret Origins. Right now we've got the Secret Origin of Josh up, and once I get off my lazy ass, we'll have a few more videos up there on YouTube as well.
Excellent. And I would just like to plug my neighborhood comic book shop, Kamikaze. Always good to me. And that place, it's all right clean. Not super clean, but yeah, pretty good. Tommy, anything to plug?
I would like to plug one of my favorite comic book shops. That's Entertainment in Worcester, Massachusetts on Park Ave. And I'd also like to plug GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things, such as Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses and stained glass prints, and just about anything that you can think of that's geeky. You can get socks, which you can then send to Tom, and he'll give them to homeless people. What's not to love at GeekOrthodox.com?
It's true. It's the perfect place to go shopping for all your geeky Christmas needs. Hey, we're also going to be in Pensacon February 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, where we're going to be doing a bunch of different things. Guys, out of all the guests who are coming to Pensacon, other than us and our fans, who are you looking forward to the most?
Ooh, that's a toughie. Hillbilly Jim. I haven't seen Hillbilly Jim in a dog's age. Can't wait to see old Hillbilly Jim. Wondering how big he still might be. Karen Allen.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, funny, great. Loved her in every single thing she's ever been in. I think Karen Allen's way up on the top of my list. Those are the two that stand out for me. How about you, Mikey?
Well, I'm going to try to get drops from the voice actors who do Pinky and the Brain for our podcast. I'm looking forward to that. And I have a Indiana Jones movie poster that my good friend John gave me, and it is autographed by Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg and a few other people. And they are going to have, I think, four or five people from the Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark cast. So I'm looking forward to getting Karen Allen and Gimli.
Freeze?
Yeah. Whatever his real name is, I want Gimli's autograph on it too. So I'm excited about getting all those guys to autograph my poster. What about you, LT?
I'm looking forward to maybe commissioning Steve Butler to do me another piece of artwork. And I'm hoping that Wade Acuff is there again so that I can get him to do some artwork for me. And, now that I have walls.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Look at you with your fancy walls.
That's right. I've got a podcast studio under the stairs that I can put artwork in. Because, my wife might not let me hang it anywhere else.
And, of course, we're all looking forward to getting to meet Tymac.
Damn right we are.
Sure enough, yeah. We are.
Sure enough. Hopefully he'll be doing a panel, not a panel with us, but doing Tai Chi in the morning with Tymac. That'll be so cool. I'll be so happy. All right, guys, that about does it for us. Don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate, just promote what you love. And Mikey, what's this podcast like for you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Tommy, sweet, sweet little Tommy, what do you got to say to finish us up here?
I hope everyone has a great holiday season.
You too. Well said, Tommy.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays from the Long Box guys.
Happy Festivus!
I'm really shocked that you didn't go with Warhead, Josh, from the Ministry of Self-Reliance, just because I thought you'd want to talk shit about the Ministry of Self-Reliance needing somebody to be there, do their bidding.
I am unaware, but I will make myself aware.
I was going to say, that was a good storyline.